And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase. Yes, the gang is all here for a bet. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Right now, Michelle Knezovic manning things at our Hillside Medical Game Studios until Elijah Campbell gives her the tag, says you're it, which will be what will be happening tonight at Bridgestone Arena. There'll be some tag,
true. That's
you're
good.
It. You know, nice segue.
That's good.
Just saying.
Michelle looks confused. I don't think she really gets your reference.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Darren.
Little
tag,
wrestling. Little
tag team wrestling. Tag team wrestling? No.
Little.
Got it.
WWE.
Okay. I didn't hear any wrestling picks there at the end of their show, so I guess they're not into the wrestling thing. I'm not either, but I do know that they do tag and they jump in the ring.
I really do. I need to get you guys just one time because I think I'd be more interested. I mean, you'll be fine. You'll have a good time. I want to see Willie at a wrestling thing. Just see him take it all in and people watch. I think that'd be fun.
Well, there'll have to be a website first that'll have analytics on each wrestler.
they have those.
Who does well in Nashville, who does well in arenas, who does well in stadiums. So, yeah. So, I don't know what those sites are. You'll have to give that to him first and then probably go from there.
Willie, you'll do a extensive breakdown on Roman Reigns, the Universal Champion.
Roman Reigns.
Brock Lesnar.
Is he in your relation to Tim Reigns?
He is not, no.
Of course Rock? You would say that. Well, we just can't get the Montreal Expos out of our conversation.
Oh, no, we did talk about Montreal Expos yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah, after Major League Baseball, who's currently not doing anything, told the Tampa Bay Rays, when we do come back, you and that Montreal marriage, it's not going to happen. That relationship is over. You can't do it. Sorry. But we are interested in Montreal.
Yes.
Just don't want to share.
I still am shaking my head at the randomness of that. Like, guys, you're in a lockout. How about getting an agreement?
How about work on
and then worry things. Then worry about Montreal and Nashville and stuff that 5 years down the road. How about getting to spring training by getting a CBA?
Here he goes.
God.
He's getting wound up. Here he goes.
No, I have to. I've tried to put it out of my mind.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Not read anything. Yeah.
Like I would love for them to expand to Nashville and Montreal and all of that. But I agree. Let's take care of business. Let's get this all fixed up with the lockout, and let's have the Atlanta Braves sign their damn first baseman so I can quit worrying about that.
I thought that was done. That's already done, isn't it?
It's going to be a done deal. It's going to happen.
Oh, it's going to be a done deal.
It's going to get it done. You know what? I have not missed your needling the last few days. So it's just let's.
You've come back into the lion's den. So
I have. I have my whip ready, and I'm get away from me.
You were the one that was frisky, okay? You're the one that stepped out there in that arena, okay. Not me. Right. I didn't tell you to go there. You did.
I'm the man in the arena. No, wait, that's Tom Brady.
You declared that it was over. It was a done deal. It's as good as done. Don't even need to announce it. It's done. It's over. I was like, really?
They're going to
get it'll be a first signing out there. Those are your words.
They'll get it done. It just won't be until May when they start the season.
Exactly.
I don't know about that. I've told you. I've talked to people. It is not even close to being a done deal. My guess is it'll probably eventually it'll happen. They'll get to it, but it is not, 80, 90, 100% like you. Well, you said it was 100% done. I've been told it's more like 65% that it'll happen.
Well, okay. It will eventually get done.
I'm still with Chase on that. It will get done. Freddie Freeman will be a Brave.
Yeah.
I'm much more worried about the CBA.
Yes, so am I.
I'm more worried about what's going to happen tomorrow at Nissan Stadium.
Yes.
That's just me.
That's a big one.
Because in all seriousness, I've really been thinking about it. And I know it's been easy this week to break down Cincinnati and break down the Titans and talk about this matchup. And certainly we have covered that ground for the last 4 days. But the part that we haven't really gotten into is how big of a game. Like, I think we're all, I feel like this market, and I understand it because I'm guilty. This is why I'm talking about it. I think we're just assuming that Monday when we start the show, they're going to be playing in an AFC championship game, and I think that's a really dangerous game to play. Like, we've just all assumed that this game is done and it's over. And there's a lot on the line.
Who's assuming?
Oh, I think so. You tell me one person that thinks they're really going to lose that you've talked to. Have you talked to anybody in this market that thinks, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, the Bengals are going to win. Like, who's told you that? I've had no one. And I was talking to people last night at the Predators game. Like, no one thinks they're actually going to lose. Like, there's people like, this could be a close game. Oh, okay. But who's going to win? Well, the Titans are going to win. I mean, everybody thinks they're going to win, and I understand that. But that's kind of dangerous territory to be in, right? Because, one,
I know what you're saying.
Favor Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel loves for everybody to be, he loves for this nobody to be talking about this team and nobody giving them a chance. That's what he likes. And
I think if you look at the national people picking the game, you'll see a lot of people picking the Bengals. I think it's pretty normal for the people in this area to feel really good about everything coming together at the right time for the Titans and having confidence in the team. I think those are two different things, but I'll find some. I'll find plenty. I've already seen them.
Oh, well,
I'll show you.
I've seen
4 or 5 out of every 10 are picking the Bengals for sure. It's on the line's only what, 3.5 or something? It hasn't moved much, has it?
Yeah, it's 3.5.
But I mean, the Packers is the most lopsided line at 5.5. I mean, all the lines are a field goal or less.
But how many people that are picking the Bengals are picking the Bengals because they trust Joe Burrow and the Bengals, as opposed to they just don't trust Tannehill and the Titans?
And that's what I'm getting at, Chase. Thank you. That's where I'm going with this. Like, here's the deal. This is the part that we haven't been talking about, and I get it. We're trying to stay positive. We're trying to say, hey, we feel good about it. This should happen. What if it doesn't? What if Ryan Tannehill isn't good again? What do you think the discussion piece is going to be all next week and the entire offseason? And what do you think the mood is going to be with the fan base?
Well, I can tell you.
You know what it is. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah,
it's going to be off the charts outrage, right?
Well, because you're going to have – this is where everything that's been written down that the Titans have done this year is going to come back. And you're going to have fans screaming, well, we need a new quarterback, but we can't go get one because J-Rob traded for Julio and he didn't do anything. And so now we're stuck and you had to change the contract for Tannehill and you're stuck with him. So you got to go to the draft and there's not any quarterbacks in the draft. And, that's going to be the conversation. And if Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson become available – people are going to be like, well, how do they go get one of those guys? They need to go all in. Well, they can't.
This is normal. This is life in the NFL. This is what every team does, and it happens
picture,
to a lot
though.
Of teams every year.
I know,
so
but Willie, I
we're
can't
not
paint
entitled,
the picture.
We're not entitled in Nashville to have everything work out, but I think they've put themselves in a great position.
I can't paint the picture that the fan base is back and then act like it's not going to be total outrage whenever
they're
all back.
You know why? You know
and
what
then
that makes
they get
them?
Let down.
You know what that makes us? Normal fans. Those are normal fans. That's the normal fan reaction. And we will have a balanced discussion about it on Monday.
Oh, I don't think it'll be balanced. That's the thing. I don't believe
it'll be
balanced.
No, it will be balanced. I will make sure it's balanced. But it doesn't mean that everybody will be rational about it. I try to be rational. There's going to be some unhappy fan bases on Monday. There'll be three. There'll be what? There's 4 games. There's 8 teams. So there'll be 4 fan bases that are outraged and can't believe that they're out. Dallas has had it all week. I'm sure Dallas has had a lot of fun down there another year where it doesn't come together from how could they lose. So that's the competition. That's how hard it is to win. And and the stakes are high because the Titans have been working towards this for about 5 years, really, going back before Mike Vrabel was the coach. They've been building this for 5 years, and this is their best chance. So the stakes are high. That means that the fall would be harder, but that's normal. So I don't know. I mean, we've seen this, Darren. You've seen this a million times in your life before. So I don't know why you're thinking this is unusual.
Yeah, but here's
what it's all about.
This is where I will.
Would you not want to be the number one seed? I mean, here they are.
Of course you do. Of course you want to be the number one seed, and
you can't fear that everything's going to go wrong.
Well, you got to look at Vrabel. In his stats, I mean, he's what, 8-0 after on short extended, or a bye, extended rest.
No, extended rest, yeah.
Not short rest.
And that doesn't guarantee anything. Like it, this, it, no, this is why you play. This is why you play.
It's a nice stat. That's what it is. But at the same time, you know, I look at the injury report. It's the shortest it's been all year. So I mean, that's nice. You're going to get Henry back. Who knows what he's going to be? But they're not going to bring him back if he's not going to be somewhat effective. So you just get, you know, at this point, I just ride the positive of they have home field. They're hosting a divisional round playoff game tomorrow.
You ride the positive because you believe 100% they're going to win. That is my point to this conversation.
I do.
Like,
you're right.
We haven't once thought of the what if. What if they don't? Which, oh, by the way, Willie, you keep pointing out the line. Yeah, that's telling us it's going to be a close game. It's not like the Titans are favored by 10 and a half.
You guys always come back on me. I remember a game that they played against the Dolphins. They're a one-point favorite, and you guys were all saying, oh, they should win. They should win this game. And I kept saying, that's not how it works in the NFL. This is going to be a tough game for sure. The Bengals are an excellent team, but I feel good about the Titans. The Titans have done everything they can do to put themselves in the best position possible. They're the number one seed. They have been through all kinds of tough bumps in the road, hurdles, injuries, 91 players, but they've got everybody back in time to start this run. You can't ask to be in a better position, and then you go play and you see what happens. Yeah, they might choke. They might go over and turn it over three times and have the nightmare. That happens in sports sometimes. But
and
that doesn't mean I'm going to sit here and worry about it.
I would tell you to put down your pipe if you think it's going to be balanced on Monday.
Listen,
if that happens.
Darren, you saw 2000 in that Ravens game. The Ravens were a heck of a lot better team than this Bengals team, but the Titans had so much misfortune in that game. They blocked two punts and got 3 points. Their field goal kicker picked the worst day in his Al Del Greco was a kicker in the league for 15 years at least. He had his
long
worst
time.
Day that day. His worst. Yeah. Block
it
field goal that gets one back for a touchdown.
Yeah,
then in 2008, they fumbled three times. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. Sometimes that happens. It could happen again tomorrow. But nobody's talking about it. What do you mean nobody's talking about it? Everybody knows that that's a possibility. Why would you talk about it?
Well, because
what are you worried
because
about?
Because it's happened. You
I know.
Never
it
happened.
Happens all the time. We watch these games every week. It happens
no,
somewhere
I'm talking
every,
about
every day in sports.
With this team.
Of course
That's
it has. It could happen.
Hey, John in Columbia on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says he's seen it before in Nashville, counting the chickens before they hatch.
I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer today.
Yes,
hit me
are.
Like all
you,
week.
You,
no,
you
I'm
you're
not.
Sassy,
for this Friday
you're
show.
Debbie Downer.
That is not true. That's not true.
Willie, is he bringing sass today?
I don't know if it's sass.
That's
it's
not
just
sass.
Kinda, it's glass half empty.
I'm just trying to present another side. I'm presenting another side that we haven't discussed. Everybody, I'm starting to get – there's a little bit of nerve. Like, why is – we're all like, yeah, okay, let's – can't wait for Sunday night to see we're playing an AFC Championship game. Oh, yikes. Like, let's – wow. It's already a done deal? Like, that's it? Like, that's everybody's mentality, and I understand. We're just as guilty. Derrick Henry's coming back. They're going the right direction with injuries. They're getting people back. They're at home. They're the number one seed. And I get it, and it's your market. But isn't anybody concerned? Because I don't feel like anybody's concerned. I feel like everybody's going, can't wait for Sunday night to see who we play on next weekend.
I think if you get into the doldrums of Twitter, you will see some concern. But
what I don't ever use anything.
But I mean that's where you're going to get a lot of the Titans fans. And,
of course.
But so let me bring this up because I saw this last night. My pal at Music City Bets. He said if you like the Titans Saturday, my advice would be to grab the number now, which is 3.5. Once Henry is activated, the line could go up 4 or 5. Could be the spread.
I don't know if it'll go to 5.
I could see Henry moving it some. So
yeah, I don't think it'll jump that high. I could see going up a half. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I think it probably finishes. My guess would be it'll top off at 4. Would be my guess.
Here's the only thing I think of that I would add to this discussion that we haven't already discussed is if we were underestimating the Bengals. That would be one thing. And just casting them off as a team that has no chance. I think we have respected their ability. We have pointed out their strengths and weaknesses. I know the Titans in the locker room aren't underestimating the Bengals and aren't looking past the Bengals. So to me, they've avoided the pitfalls of that.
All right, we need to come back and head to KC. We'll find out what their mood is. By the way, most people are picking the Bills. How about that? The team that's represented this conference the last 2 years in the Super Bowl and has won one of those Super Bowls, most people are picking the Bills. And this just in, it's not in Buffalo. It's not at Orchard Park. It's at Arrowhead Stadium in KC. We'll get the pulse in that market. We'll do that next here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Our show is presented by Creation CBD products, curated for life. Let's head to KC. That'll be the other game in the AFC to determine who will be playing next weekend for the conference championship game. Let's talk to Seren Petro, who is with Sports Radio 810 WHB there in KC. Seren, how you doing? Good morning.
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, let's get the vibe, let's get the pulse of your market, because I said going into the break before coming to you, it seems like the national media is picking the Bills to win this game. Are you surprised by that?
Not really. I mean, I think, you know, I spent a lot of time picking against the Patriots over the last, you know, 20 years, thinking this is going to be the time it's going to happen. I mean, I think even picked the Chiefs to upset the Patriots in New England with Alex Smith playing quarterback for the Chiefs. And I now look back on that and say, wow, that's about as dumb a prediction as you can come up with, because there was not a snowball's chance in hell that that was going to happen. And I think, you know, there's kind of everybody wants to be the first one to catch the new wave. And so I think it feels like it's too easy to just say, well, you get to the playoffs and Patrick Mahomes wins. But he's 7-2, and the two losses are to Tom Brady and Tom Brady only. So, everybody wants to have the new hot take. I think there's a little bit of that. I think they are empowered by the best Bills team that the Bills have had in this. They're coming off a great game. I think there's a lot of reason to pick. And if the Chiefs play poorly, they're going to lose, and it's not going to be close. They lost 38-20 the first time, but they were -4 on the turnovers, 4 turnovers, 0 takeaways. They played without Chris Jones, their best defensive player. Charvarius Ward, a starting corner. They hadn't acquired Melvin Ingram yet. They were still playing guys like Dan Sorensen 100% of the snaps instead of younger, faster, better guys, which that game kind of opened their eyes. So I think it's a better Bills team than the Chiefs played that Sunday, but I think it's a lot better Chiefs team that the Bills are going to be taking on, and the game is again at Arrowhead.
Who wins the rushing matchup in your game? Because I think both teams struggle in that department, I think it's fair to say, other than their quarterbacks who can...
Oh, wait. When you got Derrick Henry and Deonta Foreman, and, you know, you're going to look down your nose at those of us that don't run the ball the way the big, bad, tough Titans do. I love that. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I love watching the Titans and the physicality that they play with. And I think I've told you guys before, I had a chance to interview Mike Vrabel out in the American Century Championships in Tahoe, and he's one of the guys to talk to. So I'm a big fan of the Titans. But to your point is, I think, a good one, because the Bills have really, when I say they're better, you know, that's one of the ways they are better, is they're not just putting it all on Josh Allen. I mean, there's something nice, you know, about a quarterback being able to mentally take a playoff and turn around and hand the football to somebody and have it be a productive play, right? But, and you know, it doesn't have to all focus on him. I think Josh Allen's going to run the ball plenty. I think he's a, you know, Cam Newton, but can throw the ball better. And then Devin Singletary, last 5 games, has been averaging over 80 yards on the ground, and they've won every one of those games. And I think that's added a new dimension and a new threat that defenses have to account for. And the Chiefs have had some bad days against the run game. I mean, they're a defense that's built for the modern NFL, which is to stop the pass. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Titans, you know, beat them up so bad, because they like to be a nickel and dime. They don't want to be sitting in base defense and happen to stop a physical running game. And so I think the Bills will come out with that approach and try to exploit it. If the Chiefs can have some success and they force them into the downs, it gets better for them. But, you know, the Chiefs don't really have that mindset. They run to set up their throws. They run when you're looking for their throws. They had success running the ball last year at times, but, you know, that's not their bread and butter. So I would expect the Bills to be the better rushing team, but I don't know that that will necessarily lead them to victory.
Sarin Petro is with us, host of the program on Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City. And Sarin, I think I'm joining you this afternoon, actually, so that'll be fun to talk Absolutely. About some Titans and Chiefs. But with last year, how much do you look at it from the other side of the Bills, you know, losing to Kansas City, and, you know, this is still kind of a young team, and, you know, I go back to when Kansas City lost to Brady in the AFC Championship game. You kind of have to know what it's like to lose to get over the hump in the next level. So is that something that y'all have talked about this week when it comes to the Bills and coming back and facing Kansas City again?
You know, it's funny. I mean, we look for these narratives, you know, comparisons to other teams, and we say, well, this is what it's going to be. And if we nail it, boy, you know, we're geniuses. If we miss it, we look back and say, no, it was more like this game. And I think there should be a healthy fear. And I know the Chiefs, Andy Reid and the organization and the players take the Bills very seriously. No one's looking past them. And I think even the fans, you know, take the Bills very seriously. We can talk about what the fans, you know, think about what might be waiting in the next round. That may not please people in Nashville. But, you know, I think, you know, from that narrative, I think the Bills are scary, because you can say it's like the 2019 Chiefs, who lost to the Patriots, had the Patriots beat in the 18 AFC Championship game, and then have an offsides penalty that takes away the game-winning interception, and then the Patriots go on to win in overtime, and they were a motivated team all throughout 19, battled injuries in the middle of the year, but, you know, got healthy and then just rolled everybody all the way to a championship. And I listen, if the Bills do that, win a championship, that's the likeness that I would give. This was a motivated team that had, you know, everything to play for and had a singular focus and delivered on it. I also, you know, saw some of the comments of the Bills players about the game they played against the Patriots. You know, the Patriot era ends now. There was a lot of that kind of talk. And I wonder if the Bills didn't maybe, you know, play their Super Bowl last week, that maybe they come a little bit emotionally empty. While it seems like the Chiefs are the focus, really it's been about more putting the Patriots, who have been, you know, rubbing dirt in their face for 20 years, in their place, and maybe they come a little flat. I'm not sure. I mean, I think it has the makings of obviously being a very good game, and most people feel in this town, and I think in Buffalo as well, from the people I've talked to in Buffalo, that this is, if not even the AFC Championship game, the Super Bowl, that whoever wins this is then going to go on to win the championship. So, you know, I think that there will be a great focus from the Buffalo Bills, but, you know, I haven't seen Josh Allen win close games. And so I think there's, you know, three ways this game can go. Chiefs have a bad day like they did the first one. Bills have a good day. They blow them out. Chiefs have a good day. Bills have a bad day like we saw both games last year. Chiefs blow them out. But if they both have a good day or they both have a bad day and it comes down to the last 3 minutes, I don't know how you wouldn't take Patrick Mahomes to find a way to win that game. And I think that ultimately could be the difference maker in how this game ends up going.
I think the biggest thing for me, Sarin, in watching this Chiefs team since they came to Nashville and the Titans beat him, is how Steve Spagnuolo has turned the defense around. How much have you seen an improvement out of that defensive unit and what Spagnuolo has done?
Yeah, when Bob Sutton was the defensive coordinator in 2018, I mean, that was kind of the final straw. They were down, I think, at 91. And, you know, even though, you know, it was a penalty that kept them from going, in reality, you know, defensively they knew they had a problem. They brought in Spagnuolo, and there were mixed reviews about him coming in because, you know, he had failed as a head coach with the Rams, or at least been fired. And I don't know that he had great support around him, but got fired as the head coach of the Rams, had one bad year with the Saints where he was, you know, last minute filling in after the Bounty Gate situation. And so there were people who didn't know what they were getting. And they also heard about, you know, his championship with the Giants and how he did against Brady and that group. And so people really kind of wondered. And then we get to St. Joe and training camp, and he's like, you know, don't judge us on what we're going to be coming out of the gates. I mean, we're not going to be the defense we're going to be till later in the year. And I thought that was remarkable that he was pretty much saying, hey, kind of plan on us to suck. And they did. They had problems to start the year. But like you said, in 19 in the second half, they found their stride. They got healthy, and they played great. And that's kind of been a repeat every year. It is a little puzzling. And frankly, you know, this year with the 3-4 start, a little bit disappointing that, you know, why you come out of the gates playing better. And he likes to disguise coverages. I've said that I think one of his problems is if you have a guy that'll get an A on his written test about his defense and a guy that will get an A on the physicality part but a C minus on his written test, he's going to take the A player on the written test that's maybe not the best athlete. And I think that was happening a lot. Guys like Ben Neiman, Anthony Hitchens probably still plays too much at the Mike linebacker, but Dan Sorensen was playing 100% of the snaps and a lot of the times, you know, in the deep part of the field. And he just had the speed to do that. And it was the Bills' loss and the Titans' loss that really seemed to finally open their eyes. Now Juan Thornhill plays 100% of the snaps. Dan Sorensen gets more like 35 to 50% of the snaps. Willie Gay Jr. was inserted. You know, if he plays, he was arrested a couple of days ago. And the assumption is that he will play because it was a misdemeanor arrest. But, you know, he added a physicality and an athleticism that Ben Neiman can't bring to the table. Nick Bolton, the second-round linebacker last year, has now played more and more at that mic and kind of moving Anthony Hitchens out. They've gotten a lot more athletic. They played without Chris Jones. They played without various corners throughout the course of the year. Those guys, except for Rashad Fenton, are back. So I think, you know, again, the personnel kind of started coming together. They added Melvin Ingram, which allowed them to push Chris Jones back to D-tackle, where he's much more effective, where he's one of the best interior pass rushers in the NFL. And so I think, you know, for whatever reason, it takes a while for everybody to come around or for Steve to come around to what the defense is going to be. But this is another year where also the personnel is all kind of falling in place. And I saw one story, somebody had a quantitative way of trying to describe who was the healthiest team in the playoffs, and the Chiefs were rated number one healthiest team in the playoffs by the whatever metrics they were using. And so I think they are, from that standpoint, whatever they're going to be defensively, you're going to see if Rashad Fenton plays, and I think he probably won't, but, you know, even minus one of their top three corners, you're going to see about the best defense that they can be, which is a good defense, and it's certainly good enough to win and win big when the offense is playing well. You're not going to see anyone think it's the 85 Bears, but, you know, I think he's done a really good job of being ready to play at this time of year.
We're talking to Seren Petro, talking Kansas City Chiefs, breaking down their big matchup with the Bills. Seren, what do you think they learned about how to defend Josh Allen from the first meeting? It's just, he's a fascinating guy to watch. We know you can be in the right position to tackle him, but he's so big and strong, he's hard to catch up to. So what's the key to trying to contain him as that passer-runner combo?
Yeah, you know, I think you do have to contain the run because they're not afraid to use it. And, you know, kind of shockingly, to the point of really, I don't know how long the guy, if they want to prolong his career, at some point they got to quit running him the way he does or have him get down a little bit more because he runs with a physicality. He'll slide from time to time. But that's really a big pressure. And I think you've got to commit somebody as a spy that's going to be there and going to be ready to take that run game away, which sounds, you know, they've got good weapons. Their wide receivers have played very well. Dawson Knox has really emerged as a tight end. I think, but you don't want to be, you know, the Chiefs really want to just take their chances on getting a good run stop to get you into a second and 12 and then get into what they want to do. And I think what they found is since they played the Titans and got beat up so bad that, you know, they can put Nick Bolton and Willie Gay on the field and still be able to cover some folks. And I think that'll be the real chess match. That'll be the question. Can they run effectively enough to where they're in short down and distances that they can keep it? If the Chiefs can get him into a longer down and distance, then they like their chances to be able to really pressure him. And he's a tough guy to bring down. I mean, the thing that they keep saying over and over this week is tackling. They didn't tackle particularly well. Once they clinched the AFC West, they obviously played poorly against the Bengals and let them come back and beat them and couldn't get them off the field for 6 minutes at the end of the game. They didn't tackle well in that game. They didn't tackle well and kind of sleptwalk through the final game of the year against a Broncos team that had nothing to play for. They tackled a lot better against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, there's a kind of a feeling that maybe they were, you know, once they knew they had the playoffs locked up, that they were kind of on cruise control. I think that's a little bit too easy. You know, it's a physical game. I don't think you can really sleepwalk and be out there and try to hit. But they know they've got to tackle well and not allow the extra yards. And if they do that, they've been successful throughout. I mean, they had a stretch where for about seven games they were giving up like 10 points a game for one stretch. So, you know, it's a defense that can be very good, but I think they do need a little bit of cooperation to be great. And if they can get good stops on the run game and force Bills to become more one-dimensional, I think they'll have a better chance of being effective against them in this game.
It's going to be must-watch TV. Soren, the only thing that remains to be seen is what kind of mood all the people in Tennessee will be in when that game takes place. Will it be in anticipation of who they're playing, or will it be Heartbreak City? So we will find out. Soren, thanks for the time. As always, great stuff.
I always appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, and who knows? Maybe we'll talk to Soren again if the right combination of things happens over the weekend.
Hey, he talked about fans not looking ahead. I know for a fact there are a lot of Chiefs fans that have already bought tickets to the AFC Championship game in Nashville. So,
oh, have they? Okay.
I think there are some looking ahead.
You think there's some looking ahead? Oh, so I see. So we'll see if it plays out. The rematch.
We'll see.
Could happen. Would love to see it. We'd love to see it. All right. When we come back, we will continue to press forward and break it down. Tomorrow is the big day. What a day of sports in Nashville tomorrow with the Titans and the Bengals at 3:30, Predators and Red Wings coming up, of course, at 7:30. They moved the face-off time back 30 minutes. It is going to be a zoo downtown in a good way, of course. So let me tell you about Loan Pronto, because in 2022, Loan Pronto wants you to know that this is a great opportunity for you to really get the financial freedom that we always strive for. Because in this area, we know with the great home values that are out there right now, you have an opportunity to take some cash out of your home's equity if you so choose, because the mortgage rates are so low. And that's where Loan Pronto can hook you up with the outstanding no-cost refi. They'll pay your closing costs, and you can absolutely skip your next couple of house payments if you act right now. The process is very, very easy. You can have it done in about 14 days, and then you can have the check for 50, 60, 70 grand to put towards whatever you need to use cash for. If you want to reinvest in your home, upgrade it with a renovation, or if you simply need to pay some bills, credit card bills, consolidate other debt, things like that, Loan Pronto can help you with that. Take advantage of what's out there and use it to your advantage through our friends at Loan Pronto. All you got to do is give them a call, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval, not all loans apply.
By the way, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. TJ Houshmandzadeh should join us in the second hour of the program.
All right. If you were to watch right now, you would see Chase grooving to Earth, Wind, and Fire. Back-to-back.
Oh, yes.
Back-to-back Earth, Wind, and Fire. I'm impressed.
I love Earth, Wind, and Fire.
What's going on with that? Those are two of my faves right there.
I'm very versed in the musical choices. Thanks, Willie.
Okay. Michelle, going old school. You know, I would fully expect that from Elijah, but Michelle, I'm pleasantly surprised here.
Rexroad has gotten to me.
I've seen Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I hear the discussions. Joe has opened your eyes, I think, on some stuff.
I don't think that's what she means.
No?
I don't think so. Michelle, is that what you meant?
Well, here's the thing. He gives me his suggestions on some songs, some old songs, and some are good, like these I just played, and others are not so good. Like some of the hard rock ones Joe listens to.
Ooh.
Just not really my cup of tea, but Earth, Wind, and Fire, how can you not jam to it, right?
Oh, come on. Of course.
You've lost
of
Darren.
Course.
Yeah. If you don't like the hard rock, you've lost Darren.
Darren's like, Michelle, okay, bye-bye.
I don't know what groups you're talking about. So I can't really weigh in, you know, just saying.
Like Motley Crue? Do you like Motley Crue?
Some songs you just can't get out of your head because it reminds you of a movie. Like that song right there. I mean, it's, you know, Night at the Museum. I mean, you can't get that. That's the only way I associate that song now.
Yeah.
Some songs have that effect, right? Where you associate them with a movie and you can't ever get that out of your head when you hear the song.
I think if you're from the generation that the song was out, it's still mixed. I know what you're saying. That's a great song in that movie for sure, but I can remember when that song was out. I loved it back then. That was a warm up song. You know, you get it on the what we used to call it, you know, the beatbox,
the beatbox, the boombox.
You know what? The boombox. You know, the 49ers came out with the giant boombox.
No, it's Boomboz. That's where the pregame show will be on.
Boomboz. Yeah, did you guys see the 49ers come out with the old school boombox?
They
walked all the way from the locker room. I was like, yes. That was throwing me back to the 80s there.
That's awesome.
And now we know why Dallas lost, because their coach said they were nervous. So that was a good thing to say.
Get the double D batteries in those things?
Yeah, you needed the big batteries for those.
You needed the
and you needed a lot of them.
Yeah, you bring it outside, you put it on, you throw some Earth, Wind, and Fire on or whatever you want. Oh, Cool J, you start shooting.
And you knew when the batteries were getting low because everything.
Yeah, the tape starts slowing down. That is the worst. Wasn't that the worst?
See, y'all didn't think I knew that, but, you know, I knew that.
Chase gets it.
Listening to that whenever he had his video that he sent out a couple days ago with his big 33-point night in Winter Park. He must have been listening to that.
By the way, Mahoney Donick weighing in on Twitter.
I know. He on that. That was funny. On me. He was like, where's the defense, man?
That was funny. That was funny.
So yeah, they did. They kind of conceded there, or they were just laying back. They really weren't. There wasn't much pressure.
Letting Willie throw up the threes.
That's a bad pickup. Yeah, that was actually the first season. This is how old I am. First season of the three-point line in high school basketball.
Oh,
1987-88. So I think the Oak Ridge Pioneers, who were a great team, they didn't know how to defend the three that well. Took advantage.
So that's great, Willie. That's fantastic. But yeah. I was looking at something while we were talking to Seren. And I find this interesting. At PropsUS on Twitter has gotten the lines from FanDuel for next week. They already have lines set for next week.
Okay.
So the Titans, if the Titans were to win.
But that would be looking ahead.
This is definitely.
Darren would frown upon this, right? Because he thinks everybody's already looking.
This is what we're doing. This is just keep with the thing we've done all week.
There's a job to do.
No.
Look ahead.
This is definitely looking ahead. So let's have some fun here. Let me give you from the NFC first.
I mean, did Chase not just play exactly into what I just said in the first segment? I mean, he played exactly into it. He's come out and said, all right, let's figure out what the Lions are going to look like when the Titans beat the Bengals. Let's see what the Lions are.
Well, I have
you're
both.
You're going to get on the list.
I have both. I have if the Bengals win and if the Titans win. I have both.
People are going to put you on the list.
That's fine.
I'm putting you on the list.
That's fine.
I've already got it marked down. Put it down. 12 o'clock. Chase on the list for doing. You don't look ahead. We don't talk about games that.
Well, FanDuel has clearly looked ahead, Coach Willie. Okay.
I don't care about FanDuel and what they want to do. That's not the focus.
Okay. So if the Titans win, I said if. I didn't say they should.
Don't table it. It's okay. If go on and flex. Just
Buffalo.
Just do it.
Is favored. By 3.5
okay.
If they win. If it's Kansas City, Kansas City is favored by 4. So in either scenario, the Titans are home dogs.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
Cincinnati at Kansas City, KC minus 6.5. Cincinnati at Buffalo, Buffalo minus 6.5. And then in NFC, Tampa Bay at Green Bay, Green Bay minus 2. Rams at Green Bay, Packers by 3. San Francisco at Tampa would be Bucks minus 3. San Francisco at the Rams, Rams minus 3. So there you go. Those are some look-ahead lines.
There's no doubt that the Chiefs and the Bills, that's why they've been doing this as the AFC champion. This is those are the two sexy teams. We've already established that all week. And they're going to be favorites. Why? Why are they going to be favorites?
Because of their offenses.
Quarterbacks.
And quarterbacks.
They're quarterbacks. That's why. Yep. That's how it works in this league.
Yep.
Doesn't mean they're going to win.
Now, I'm curious, what happens if Derrick Henry goes off for 100 yards and a touchdown?
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen. What if the Titans dominate the Bengals? And, you know, that'll change everything.
Right.
I mean, it just will. But if they, you know, if they win by a point and they were playing from behind the whole game, then those lines will probably hold true. But, I mean, of course, everything's got to play out. They're just giving it to you today, right? They're giving you the lines today. But these things will, I'm sure, will change big time, probably, after this weekend. Because it's not going to play out exactly the way everybody thinks it's going to play out, right? But I don't know what – I don't think much has to change on the Chiefs-Bills front, because I think the winner is just going to get the respect of being the favorite. But I do think the Titans can change the narrative depending on how they look.
Sure.
If they come out and they don't look – it's like Dallas. Like, if Dallas would have won that game, people wouldn't have been confident going into this weekend. It would everybody – the whole narrative would have been they got lucky. They had no business winning that game, right? 49ers couldn't put them away. Shame on San Francisco. That would have been the narrative. Like, Dallas played like crap. They didn't deserve to win. But they did. But yet, no one's going to give them credit for the win, right? They're just going to blame the 49ers for not putting them away and saying, you played a terrible game. You didn't deserve to win. So, because they were playing from behind the whole game, right? So I just think it's going to be – it's really determines on how this game here plays out, on how it'll look next weekend if you want it to look different. Because there is a chance for it to look different. I think there is nothing the Titans could do, in my opinion, for them to change that, what you just threw out there, for them to be the favorite, unless the obvious, the winner of the KC Buffalo game, and they have, you know, the winner, like in San Francisco's case, but they pay the ultimate price with significant injuries, right?
Right.
That's because that's what the 49ers, that spread would be different if things had not happened in that Dallas game. I mean, some key players, huge players for them went down. They'll probably all play, but they know they're banged up, right? And so that affects the line. And that's the only way. Like no matter how you look at it, I'm not surprised at all. The Titans will be the underdog if they win. No matter what they do, they'll be the underdog. Like I said, unless the winner of the other game has significant injuries.
I think they embrace that, though. You know, that's a Mike Vrabel thing.
I'd be using that big time. I'd be using that big time. Weakest one seed in the history of the NFL. There's a lot of stuff like that, statistically based. You know, you guys like to joke with me about analytics, but it's true. The Titans do not have great numbers as a team collectively, but there are reasons for that. And the teams that accumulated a lot of those statistics didn't have the guys that are going to be in uniform for the Titans. There's been 91 guys that have dressed out. A lot of those guys aren't playing on Saturday and presumably wouldn't play the following week. So that's my theory anyway. So that's why I feel like they're very much undersold. But they're going to have that label until they prove otherwise. So it won't be a surprise to anybody, but I like that. I'm using that if I'm Mike Vrabel internally.
What would change statistically or analytically? I mean, nothing. They're going to keep doing what they've been doing all year. And if it hasn't impressed the stat geeks, it's not going to impress them. That's not what they're about. I mean, this is truly where I understand and respect both sides, but this is where I tend to lean more toward the eyeball test, because I don't care what the numbers say. I've already laid it out this week. What other team has the same resume as the Titans? There are none. The answer is none. The Titans have beaten Kansas City. They've beaten Buffalo. They've beaten the Rams on the road without Derrick Henry. They've beaten the 49ers without Derrick Henry. Who else has that resume?
And they have that resume, but
what
you're getting...
They swept the Colts. The Colts went into Buffalo and ripped them to shreds this year.
And well, the other thing that happens is what people look at, other than some that really do the deep dive, number one, some people that do all the stats just look at the stats and they haven't really watched the film, or they haven't watched the games, right? They're looking at this huge pile of stats from 17 games. But for example, when Bud Dupree is in the game, it's not easy to see from the outside because, what do you have, 3 sacks or something like that? But I think people will tell you when you watch the games, when Bud Dupree's on the field, that front four is very, very good. There's a big difference when they've got all four of those guys as opposed to when Bud Dupree isn't in there. There's a huge difference in the Titans' offense. Forget about Derrick Henry, but whether A.J. Brown's on the field or not. We saw that against San Francisco.
Yeah, why would we care about
they're going
numbers?
To have both of those guys on Saturday.
Exactly.
So but the stats are over 17 games where
which they weren't
both
available.
Of those guys missed a huge part of the
chunk.
Huge exactly. chunk of time, yeah.
That's right. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised by that. I mean, Derrick Henry.
No, of course not.
He missed half the season. You just mentioned Bud Dupree, Julio Jones, A.J. Brown. These are guys in and out of the lineup, mostly out of the lineup than in. So why would the stats look good? By the way, David Long, he's kind of important to what they do on defense. He missed, what, 6 weeks?
I think that
something
only,
like that, yeah.
Only the most trained eyes, in other words, the national guys, only the ones that really look deep would understand how important David Long has become to the defense.
Yeah, some I don't know if know the numbers play is. Out that way when he's in there. I don't know how they couldn't, right?
He makes a difference.
He's vitally important to what they do. He missed 6 weeks.
Especially in pass coverage against a team like the Bengals. David Long is a key cog.
Willie, you're going to tell everybody about Lee Company, and then we're going to come back and talk to TJ Houshmandzadeh.
Okay, looking forward to that. Let's talk about Lee Company. Big, big sponsor, Nashville Predators hockey. Big win for the Predators last night against the division rival Jets. One of the biggest wins of the season to get out of the funk. Lee Company is a big, big sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey. If you were in Smashville last night, you enjoyed a fun night. There'll be another one tomorrow night after the Titans game. A lot of you might be doing the double dip. In fact, I'd like to know how many people are going to the Titans game and then walking across the bridge to see the Predators and the Red Wings. Either way, Lee Company will be right there front and center when you walk into Smashville. Also, a big part of our radio coverage, sponsorship-wise, Darren will have the pregame show starting at 6:30 tomorrow night. Lee Company's got a great array of services right now in these cold times we face. It's very important your heater is running the way it should be, and that's one of the things they can help you with. General maintenance, whether it's heating, cooling, plumbing, electric, or even general maintenance with fences and ceilings and doors and things like that. They can help take care of things for you at home or at your business. 615-567-1000 for Lee Company. That's 615-567-1000, or go to leecompany.com.